We're live.
Jobber Nation, welcome to a special Tuesday night episode of the Jobber Tears Podcast. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black. We wanted you guys to tune in tonight. We're going to give some AEW recap, feelings, emotions, all of the above. And we will also be giving our Survivor Series predictions. This has been a very heavy, I feel like, wrestling month, to say the least. So, you know, last weekend was Full Gear. And thanks to everyone that came out, the legends, last weekend. There were some old faces and some new faces. Facts, and we always appreciate everybody coming out and supporting. We truly appreciate it. So make sure to come out this Saturday for Survivor Series. To watch it. It'll most likely be our last viewing party of 2022. So just make sure to come out and support. Before we get into some AE dubs, you guys, finally, Mr. Black has watched Black Panther. Everyone give him a round of applause. Oh, Stephanie Hardy, hey girl. So, listen, we had to wait until Mr. Black, you know, had watched Black Panther because we didn't want to do it without him. So now that he's unwashed, and now we could talk about it a little bit.
Yo.
Because you start. So, Wilkins out here looking for Avengers to come to the funeral that ain't.
Come on, son. Come on, son.
That ain't allowed in Wakanda. So, I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, but. Disrespecting my mans, B.
Not even. So, in the movie, what was your favorite part, and what was the part that made you cry the most? Because I know everybody done cried in this movie.
I didn't cry, but I was very emotional.
You're a lie. You had tears. Don't do that.
Cry either.
Don't be like that. There was some water and some eyes. Yeah, don't even do that.
Nah. Like, yo, there was mad black women in that movie, man. Like, yo. There was mad chocolate. My favorite type of women. Chocolate women, B. Oh, man. Dang. There was five. When it went to Haiti, it wasn't really Haiti though. Yeah, I ain't fucking slick, but I.
No, it was Haiti.
Which part?
The whole entire part. They actually filmed in Haiti.
Probably some other part. I don't know because Haiti's in a shambles, son.
Nah, they filmed the nice part. That's it. Not disrespectful, son. You disrespect the Haiti, bro.
No.
I was there about to say, when last time you went to Haiti?
But seriously, his son's name Toussaint.
Listen, so when we went to go see it, y'all, everybody knows I'm not the heavy Marvel, all that type of shit. That's not me. But I support just movies, and I go as a movie watcher. But that in there, with that little boy?
You know what? It was on the countryside. All right, good luck, Gene.
Fellow Haitian in the building.
Yeah, this is like 50.
But yeah, oh.
That's Stephanie Hardy.
Okay, I was like, I don't know whose it is, but I had a feeling.
Oh, Puerto Rico. Yeah. You see
what's from Puerto Rico? They filmed in Haiti, my nigga.
Okay, well, regardless of the fact, now, you know, T'Challa has a whole child.
Yo, make and- Toussaint, B. Woo!
But I just, that moment, just, that meant a lot for me because, one, I don't know how they all withheld that information from her. that was fucked up. But the fact that, you know, she has, a, you know, some type of relation or something to her brother, I think that was dope. I really still don't think they had to kill Angela Bassett to get to that point, but Mikey says otherwise, but they didn't have to kill Angela Bassett, though.
It makes sense as far as like plot wise because it was just like we both lost, like we both sacrificed so much to the point where like, yo, if we keep on going at this, this war will not stop. So for the long run, it made sense story wise. It built a layer. It built a bet. Oh my God, when he had it like this, she was like, next you know, the flashback. I'm like, spare him.
I love that Michael B. Jordan did that cameo. That I really, really like.
Oh, it was Carl.
I really did like that Michael B. Jordan did the cameo because it gave a really good side into like what she really was feeling. She wasn't herself. He was only thinking of revenge.
Don't y'all see the bigger picture? It's about us black people and brown people coming together.
Coming together.
Trying to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
That we must work together to take over this world. Because these colonizers is wild, disrespectful.
Dang, son. Yeah. You feel me, son? Like, you know what? When I see my Spanish brothers, I'm going to do this. My Spanish brothers.
God.
So,
but, oh, you know Janelle, what? Yo, Janelle, she can do both. She can do both. She can do this and this.
I can't do both at the same time.
My only beef with the movie was Riri Williams' character.
Who is that?
Who's that?
Ironheart.
Oh,
I love that little girl.
Yeah.
I like the acting.
Oh my God, I love the little girl. She gave, like, she's from Chicago. She gave the, like, but she's a smart black girl that was at MIT. Like, I off that, I was sold.
I didn't like the acting. I thought it was kind of corny.
You said you didn't like the what?
The acting.
It didn't fit the. But then again, she just started out, so give her a chance.
It's a little girl. Isn't she, what, is she supposed to have some series on Disney Plus?
Yeah. Gene just said that, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was like, because this one had told me that after we watched it, because he was like, yeah, they're gonna, that's who that's going to be. And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch that because it's a black girl.
No, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
What else about Little Black Panther? Did y'all see Lupita's training?
Oh, yeah, in the water?
In the water? That was hard.
She was lit.
Like I love a good behind the scenes looking and like how things are like put together. Mm-hmm. So like to actually train underwater with weights and that type of training is like no joke. So for her to do that is real. It it felt like a 3-hour funeral for Chadwick. That's really what it felt like.
It didn't feel like 3 hours though. Like it went by quick.
Bro, by 2.5, I definitely was like, what time is it?
Nah, I didn't feel like 3 hours to me either. For one thing, I fall asleep in movies. I didn't fall asleep in that one.
Oh, that's good.
Me too.
Wait, what other movies have you not fallen asleep to? Because you do fall asleep in a movie. I will co-sign that.
Black Panther 1.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't fall asleep during that one.
We went to go see Fast and Furious. The first one, The Rock was in. You didn't fall asleep on that one.
Because The Rock was there.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So that's because it's strictly because The Rock.
Because Dwayne.
Endgame, I fell asleep the first time because I saw it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
But then when I actually went to go see it, I was just like, nah, I didn't fall asleep at all.
Okay.
Like,
oh, wow.
The movie for me, I know some people wanted more action out of it. I thought the pacing of the movie was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they explained everything. There was no real plot holes for me when it came the movie.
That's how I felt about Black Adam, low key. Like, I was just like, I said, that's how I felt about Black Adam, low key. Like, I appreciated the context, like, the substance of it, like, the story versus the, I mean, there was action, of course, because Dwayne Johnson's in it, but. Like, I felt like, because for someone, the casual fan, and I guess in that sense, that don't follow, and that's their first time being introduced and learning, that's what I liked about the movie. Was like,
but that's what, it was, that's what I also liked about Black Panther, because it felt like they weren't trying to fit it into the MCU.
It was its own story. Like, even from when he was born, and the mom, and them drinking the thing, and I'm all turning blue, like, all of that stuff, like, is dope.
It was that, also, like, the fact that they really gave Chadwick a good send-off in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also question, because my homeboy at work asked me this. So, when that first part, when they showed, the funeral part for Chadwick, and they had the little Marvel thing in the beginning, was your movie theater quiet?
Yeah,
everybody's movie theater was like, everybody was telling me that you can hear a pin drop. Like, it was just a moment
all really in the movie theater, all you really heard was like people like sniffing it, like for real, yeah, real. Yeah. It wasn't even on some like boo. It wasn't on some like you. No, it was literally like you were in a funeral procession, so you had to be quiet.
Like, it was crazy how like it was just that was like the constant thing that I heard. It was like so quiet in the movie theater when with those Chadwick Boseman parts. When they would talk about his character, and I love how they spoke about how he passed away, but they didn't speak about how he passed away. They did a good job of everything.
They stayed on the line of like fact and fiction, which was really good because it kept it relatable but still respectful to like his family and in that sense of privacy. Because, you know, in that beginning part when she was just like, I'm trying to do everything to save my brother. And, you know, I couldn't even do that type of thing. And it was just like, because like when you're at that end stage of cancer, there's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good, like, just, I think honoring him, it was really good. And then, like I said, that little boy at the end took me out. Like, we was all like, why did they do this?
Can you keep it secret?
Yeah, he was like, he's like, I heard you can keep a secret. It was just the cutest little like conversation that she was having with her nephew that she just found out 2 minutes ago.
That shit is wild.
Because when she was on the beach doing the ceremony thing, and I kind of was glad she came to do that because I feel like that's what everyone should do that to honor, you know, to a part of the healing process. And when Lupita had walked down to the beach, and I saw a shadow, I said, yeah, they doing the most now. I can't. They got this little boy who's not gonna grow up and be the Black Panther. They gonna keep it going. I said, well, damn.
Well, Lupita, I just want to tell you, I am Toussaint. My Haitian name is Toussaint, but my
Wakanda name
is Prince.
Prince T'Challa.
Hello there.
Hello.
And then fade to black.
Hey,
Lord. All right, last question. Oh, it's actually a pretty name.
What?
It's a strong name, low key. And you don't see a lot of kids with that name. So it's a really strong, but like not used a lot name. Last question before we actually jump into starting to talk about some good old wrestling. What is one movie in that, I guess, MCU, like that realm that you're excited to for it to come out? Like, what's the next movie? Okay, Mr. Black. I don't know.
Which one?
What's the next comic movie that you're excited to see come out?
I don't know, because I don't know what's coming out next. Oh, Ant-Man, the new one.
Yes. Yo, first of all, shout out to that black dude. Shout out to that black dude in Ant-Man because he's out here getting multiple checks. He's in multiple movies coming out. I don't even know his name, and he's one of them. He one of them like Idris Elba niggas that is English and can act his ass off. But my man is in multiple movies, including Ant-Man. So I'm excited to see Ant-Man too. Actually, that's like one of the movies I like really enjoy. I had saw the second one with your boy Ish, actually. We went to go see Ant-Man, the second one. And I never saw the first one. So I went in there like...
Oh, good. Jonathan Majors, that's his name.
Jonathan. Oh, Deadpool with Wolverine.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see.
Jonathan Majors. So, yes, but all right, guys, let's talk about once again. AEW Full Gear has come and gone, and we have some new champs. We had a young lady get back in the ring almost after 5 years out of the ring. A lot to talk about, guys. Where do we start? What are some ups and downs of AEW Full Gear?
I'm proud of, I'm going to still call her Paige. I'm proud of Paige for getting back in the ring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The match sucked, but I'm still proud that she did it again. Like all bullshit aside, like the human in me and the fact that this is what she's done her entire life and it was taken away from her, I felt that. I felt that emotion when she stepped out. When she stepped out, I felt the emotion when she after she won the match.
When she hugged her brother.
The match was a straight basuto.
Oh yeah, no, nah, it was dumpster juice. For real.
But I don't blame her. I blame them for putting that match with fucking Britt Baker.
Britt Baker, yeah.
Because Britt can't carry a match like that. She's not advancing the game like that.
Really, it shouldn't have been a singles match to begin with, and I said that last week. But no, like you said, it's always gonna be about the comeback story. That's always what it's gonna that's gonna always trump everything, even though the match was trash. The comeback story is what everyone's gonna really focus on. So.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
Also, I enjoyed the tag match.
Which one?
Acclaimed versus Swerve and Glory. It was a good match. We all knew they were about to break up. Swerve and Keith, like we all knew that was coming. But it really was a good match.
What I liked about it, I liked the story that it did tell. I will say that. Mm-hmm. I did like that. I do think, and you already know, I'm a stickler for placement of matches. I honestly would have opened the show with that tag team match. I would open the show with them. You end with champs and you start with champs. And I think that would have been a really good homage to them because, you know, with with the Acclaim and with NJF, you know, shout out to Creative Pro Wrestling School coming out of Long Island and training, you know, in the tri-state area, and then, you know, this is their home. So I think, you know, I would have put that match first instead of the cage match. But what were your thoughts on this cage match? That I had to realize that they came out of the cage.
Yeah, like, honestly,
did y'all realize that?
I felt like, okay, this is my feeling. I felt the two-part match. I felt the first half felt like a video game where it was a glitch. That to get tables underneath the ring because it threw me off. I'm looking like, yo, why did you do that? You made yourself look dumb. Common sense, you do that in the beginning of the match and you lock them in. Once you get out of it, it takes away the illusion. But once they did got in the cage, the match was fire.
Right, because I had to think back. I was like, wait, when you're in a cage, once you come out of the cage, the match is over.
That's Vince's rule.
So, I was just very thrown off by them exiting the cage before the match.
Did they give the rules?
No.
I don't even know. All I knew was that the pinfall and submission was valid. That's actually the only thing I did know.
So, it was just a regular match with a cage around it?
Yeah, basically.
But no, you know, that's how original cage matches are, though. The original cage
the right person won, though. I think.
Yeah, me too.
So, I do think that, you know, Jungle Boy Jack Perry. I think he deserved that one.
This is a really good point, actually. Because my brother kind of said this is Vince's rule. It's crazy that. Because of the monopoly that WWE had for so long in professional wrestling, that we go off their rules for everything. And the thing is, it's nobody's fault. Like, literally all of us grew up, majority, yes, we watched TNA, we watched ECW, but for a large portion of our lives, majority of what we watched was WWE television. And literally, WWE's rules, a lot of times we go, this is supposed to be the rules. It's supposed to be the rules for everything. Like, and yes, it is.
I mean, I guess it's because it's a certain standard that's been over 40, 50 years in place. And unless there's a match where you tell the rules before the match starts, then you're going to essentially go by the standard.
Yeah,
you're going to go by what you know. So
and that's what I'm saying is just that we go off of that. So we just go, yo, this is how it's supposed to be. And then my brother just said, like, nah, the original cage matches were regular matches with a cage around it. But then Vince was like, nah, we're gonna spice it up. In order to win this match, you gotta climb out this bitch.
And it's fire like that, honestly. It's
no, but again, like, I feel like, and that's what threw me off about the match, about them outside of the cage, because it's like, that defeats the purpose of a cage. Like, if y'all, like, if we just wanted a prop thing, like, that's just like, well, I guess when they did the Inferno match, and he set him on fire outside of it, I guess that's a different story for a different day. But,
yes.
Moral story is, if there's a cage, stay your ass in the cage. Because that's what makes sense. But
Vince took a Japanese death match, basically Inferno cage, Inferno match, and made it safer.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. And then it's like, it just shows the domination of WWE over the past, especially over the past 20 years. Yes, we'll just say 20 years.
I'm gonna go 35 because at least count from WrestleMania. I'm gonna go from a solid 35.
You're talking about straight domination because even over 20 years.
Well, okay, then I guess you can start mid 90s. Okay, fine.
So, yeah, I'll say about 20 years because then WCW still had its run, but like the chokehold that WWE has on wrestling is crazy to me because like when you think about it. Everybody always tell me, oh, you like wrestling, that WWE shit.
Well, because it's a global brand with no competition.
That's the crazy thing about it.
No, like, no, it's pretty wild.
It's just that literally every time we talk about any company, even if we don't want to, we will compare it to WWE. Even on the indies.
Vince wouldn't do that. Vince would never.
Or like let's say we go to an independent show. Like, we would go to an independent show and it'd be like, yo, this is borderline WWE quality here.
That is true.
I actually like what Stephanie said because growing up, I went to like Ringling Brothers every year. Like, my mom took us every year, and that's actually a really good comparison because when that shit is in town, everybody goes. That's a really good one.
Soul Circus for the black people. Brilliant Brothers for the white people. I was like, oh, I've been to Soul Circus.
I've never been to
Ringling
Brothers.
I've never been to Ringling Brothers.
I lost my shoe at the circus.
Why did you lose your shoe?
Because were you running? I was dingling, and then it came off my feet, and they had a fight underneath my chair. Yeah. Like, it was a net underneath it, and they got it.
Did you get your shoe back?
Yeah. My mother would have killed me. She would have whooped my behind if I didn't get my shoe back. When I say kill me, she probably would have killed me.
Well, I mean, you would have went home with one less shoe. So
she would have beat me for hours.
Universal Soul Circus.
Yeah, I've never experienced
that. That's where the black folks go. But that was my little rant about like it. I was like, yo, when my brother said like, well, Vince, you know, but I was like, Vince rules is like, it's crazy because the business is based on Vince's rules.
It's the standard.
Like WWE has set the standard of what wrestling is. Now, going outside the standard, going, you know, away from that, obviously you're entitled to do that. And it's just wild to me.
So actually, you know what? That actually makes me think of a question. If let's say ECW growing up went really hard on like deathmatch shit, do you think we would understand it more now?
No.
Why?
Because deathmatch is an abstract art of professional wrestling.
No, but I'm saying like, what if growing up it wasn't and it was like the norm?
The norm.
Then what?
It's just too niche to ever be the norm. You know what I mean?
Wrestling's already a niche.
No, but it's mega niche. Yeah, bro, like, even watching it live, you're like, ew.
No, yeah, no, I'm good on that.
Like, so I will always bring up when we watched those death matches at GCW, and we were sitting there, and nobody enjoyed it. None of us. There's three of us here with different opinions, and none of us enjoyed it.
Like, yo, I have a really good friend, like, from, like, back in the day. He always goes to them GCW shows. And I just be like, I don't get it, but good for you.
Nah,
I gotta go to one. I gotta go to one.
No bullshit, though. The one they just had in Rhode Island, that card was that.
Yeah, but the thing about it, it is like a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche. that's death matches for me. Like, it's just like, you really gotta have like some real. It's like that, you know, that beer, those beers that like you think is fucking disgusting, but like only a certain type of people drink that shit.
Yes, or like when you do a flight and you only like that particular thing, but everybody likes the other thing. Yes.
Yeah, it's like death matches is like the niche of a wrestling.
Yeah, because honestly, deathmatch is very hard to watch. Because I want to referee one, but it's very, because at any moment,
Yarly, if your ass get hurt at some fucking deathmatch shit, I'm rolling the fuck up and I'm out of problem.
No. Like, you don't understand that. I don't care if Nick Gage call me a pussy for a long sleeve. Fuck you, Nick Gage.
I still want to get him. I still want to interview him still.
If Nick Gage tells me you're a pussy for wearing long sleeve, I'll say, Nick Gage, I'm this. You're this. Understand that, Nick Gage. Understand that. But I want to, like, it's hard to watch because it's very
hard
gruesome.
To watch, hard to be a part of. But the thing is, people fuck with it.
Yeah, because.
All right.
Because, again, like, for example, seeing John Cena, Ric Flair in a crimson mask, that's cool to see. But seeing somebody with. Cuts right here, cuts right here, a big gash right here. He going through glass and stuff like that, getting hit in like a tool, getting stabbed with forks.
You know what's wild though? Like I'm not opposed to like no ring matches though. It's weird.
Me too.
I'm not 100% against those.
Me either.
Dre's first independent experience was at a bar. No ring, but I didn't know, to be fair. But
I think it's fire because WWE trained us to like it. Think about it. Then they go for in the boiler room match.
Oh, think of the hardcore title matches. Like the 24/7 title that was like everywhere.
So it trained us for us to like it.
Okay. See, so that's why I asked if we growing up been introduced to deathmatch shit. Would we understand that now?
Nigga, no. I'm telling you, it's like watching people die in front of you.
God.
There's a certain level of like you certain way you have to be, and maybe getting used to seeing it. But I feel like if you're an 8-year-old watching death matches, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, you're gonna be fucked up for life.
Nah. Honestly, high type year 2020, all those kids that watched deathmatch growing up, they fucking weird now, son. So you right. like literally, I was in special ed. Like honestly, I was in special ed. So a lot of my friends are from special ed. And all the kids who like deathmatch are fucking weird.
Well, all right, we're gonna move right along. Let's see what other matches that, I mean, the ROH title match, I knew Jericho was going to win anyway, so I'm not going to go into
Joe
that.
Me.
That made me so angry.
Why?
And I love Samoa Joe because it didn't have to happen at all. Just even pull it back to the whole War Joe thing, like, Warlow, when he won the TNT title, has not had a meaningful type of feud or meaningful even match for his whole title run. And then you velcro him to Samoa Joe for no reason because he's a different company's champion. So I don't understand what that was about. For him to then turn on him and then you insert Will into it, which if even if Wardlow was going to lose the title, somebody else could have been in that place because Haas hasn't had any type of push, any type of momentum. I just don't get it. Like I don't understand. Like I mean, and then what's the end game with Joe now having both belts? Because you mentioned it's gonna get people to watch the ROH pay per view that's happening in about almost what 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But will it?
So the best way to do that one would be if Wardlow gets a rematch clause for that title, and then it becomes Wardlow versus Samoa Joe at ROH, and then Wardlow becomes a dual champion.
I mean, I understand that, but I kind of feel what Janelle is saying because you didn't have to have Hobbs in that match. You could have had him feud with Wardlow, then feud with Samoa Joe. You gotta at least got a feud out of him, and like Janelle said, I never felt his presence at TNT champion. I felt it was called an afterthought. I felt that
yo,
when he carried that belt, it felt like a prop. It didn't feel.
And we're gonna talk about lackluster run, terrible, like run.
Try.
He gets that one, and it was like you guys built him up to overcome MJF to then do nothing with him. I don't know the disconnect. Like I don't get it. I really want better for him. Just like I want better for Jade. I just want better. like I don't get it. And honestly, Nyla should have probably won. low key. Because everybody likes a comeback story. And now she's coming once again, she's in that box and she's almost gonna be champion for almost a full year. And then once again has not had if maybe one, maybe two, but hasn't had really any type of fuse for us to be like, yo, remember when such and such and such and such?
I feel
and
like
she deserves better than that.
Another person who deserves better is Hook. I feel like
so I did like I did like the match with him and oh boy, what's his name? Fuck,
it
the
was
Tiger
good.
Style
Lee Moriarty.
Yeah. I did like the match, though.
Me too.
But once again, that FTW title has no direction. So it's super hard for him to grow and do bigger things when there's no real direction for a belt that they don't even really recognize. So I really, there's a disconnect for me there. And I like Hook. He definitely is his daddy's child. So I do like him, but.
No, he's not. Because
what they gonna do?
Because his daddy used to look black back in the day.
Yo, do you understand? Yo, when Nikolai fucking posted that shit, I said, yo, Taz was out here catfishing all of us when we were kids, and I need him to answer questions. I need Taz to go on like a Facebook Live or Instagram Live, and I need all of us as a community to get on that and question that man and why he let us think that he was black, because that wasn't okay. That's probably really why I started watching ECW, because I thought the nigga was black. And I was like, oh shit, the black nigga's fucking him up on TV. It ain't him. Yo, I'm so upset.
This man is white as snow.
White. Wiggity white.
Is he Jewish?
We talked about this. He's Italian, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because the real thing, though, is like where Italy is really next to Africa. So a lot of people that are descendants from, like, Sicily, they're actually very, like, they look like us.
Wait. Vendis is not black?
He half black, I think.
No.
I don't think he's full black. I think he half black.
Wait, hold on. Vendis is black, son.
I think he's half black, though. I don't think he's full black. But he don't even look black, Steph, low-key. He look mixed. But yeah, once again, Will, you deserve better. And I keep telling you deserve better. So
he is English. His mother is English, German. Yeah, so his mother's super white. And his adopted dad. Hold on. I'm reading this right now. Hold on. I'm reading this right now.
I'm intrigued now.
So, parents, it says he was raised by his mother, Deborah, his adopted Vincent, and blah, blah, blah. He says his mother is white, super white, basically. His adopted dad is African American, referring to his biological father background. Jesus said himself he's definitely a person of color. So he's black, son. Yeah.
I know he at least half black. I knew the daddy was like the black side, or like a person of color.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he looks mixed.
And a person raised him.
He
black,
looks mixed.
He got black.
Taz growing up did not look mixed. If you go back and look at Taz's debut, he is almost as dark as me in that debut, in that Royal Rumble. I promise you. So but welcome back, Sir Wilkins. So I know you had to get your food.
Yo, fuck this nigga, yes, son.
So let's move on. We got maybe like two or three other matches to kind of hit on. Yeah. We are now entering, which I don't even know why for the life of us, a best of seven series with the Death Triangle and the Elite.
Love it.
What?
Why?
Honestly, it keeps them away from everyone else, keeps them busy. At the end of the day, if you want to sell tickets, I'm going to sell tickets. And it's nice and spread out, too. It's not back to back.
Some of them is definitely back to back.
Well, I like it because at the end of the day, they haven't been on TV for a while. Fuck it. Let them go at it. They haven't done it before in AEW. Why not? Like, what's the worst that can happen? The match is not good.
My fear is the matches are going to all look the same. My fear is that by the fourth match, everyone's going to be exhausted. My fear is it definitely takes away from other trios going after the title. So it locks them in a series that, as you mentioned, makes them untouchable. But now that takes away from, you have the House of Black apparently coming back. You think of any other trio, Dark Order, Best Friends, whatever. It takes away from anybody else getting an opportunity and getting into that picture. And for me, I would have, if it was me, I would have maybe done the best of three and kept it very short, but kept it. Five would have been my max, but three, I think, would have built enough story for them to have one each. Like, they already won one, kind of, but each one would have won one, and then that last one would have kept everybody on the edge of their seats. Them doing seven, like it's the NBA fucking finals, bro.
But the last time they did the best of seven, each match was fire. They had it with the Young Bucks versus Generation Me, or was it? No. That was them. It was Motor City Machine Gun and Beer Money. Best of seven. Never mind.
But from what you remember, did all of the did the matches all look similar?
No, it was different matches. Cage matches, hardcore matches, ladder matches.
Okay, so if there were different stipulations to this best of seven series, then maybe I can get jiggy with it.
Knowing them, they're going to do that. They're going to do that, though.
Knowing them, they probably won't.
So.
Until maybe the very end.
They have to do stipulations. Because it won't work any other way. Because, yes, we're all smart marks, and we all enjoy technical wrestling, but these niggas gonna do the same flippy shit over and over again unless they kill themselves.
Yeah. You're right.
But yeah, so stay tuned for that, guys. I think that series is starting. If not this week coming up, then next week. And it's going all the way up until, I think, the beginning of January when they make their debut in the Pacific Northwest area. So stay tuned. Like, if you're on the West Coast, you're going to be able to, I think, catch any one of those matches that they're going to have. Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter, new interim women's champion.
The right person won.
the right person won, but the right person won the wrong fucking titles. It should not be interim anymore. I'm so sorry, Thunder. I love you, but something has to give. Like, something has to give.
They just
stopped that shit completely, bro. See, but Stephanie, I know we were actually at the first match of that best of three series between Axiom and Nathan Frazier. We was there, but once again, it was a best of three. But girl, that shit is too much. Last but not least, there is a new face of AEW. There is a new world champion by the name of Maxwell Jacob Friedman, guys. He's finally hit to the mountaintop. And he let everybody know who the fuck he was at that media show. I don't know why he sets himself up for that. Like, I think now it's just an ongoing joke now. Like one person just gotta fuck with Tony. Like, just gotta fuck with him. Just gotta go off script. At least one person. But
listen. They needed a change.
Well, yeah. And Mox is older vacation. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, and this is good for the company because you're finally using your pillars to be your champions. Now, this is a test for MJF. And a lot of people are not seeing this. Like, yeah, MJF talked a lot of big game over the past year about what he's been, who he is and what he's capable of, all this other shit. And him going to WWE, all this other crap. Now, you have your company's top prize. Now, these are the questions that have to be answered. Are you a legit draw? Are you going to carry this company to the next level now and bring more eyes to this company?
That is true.
Because, yeah, you've been in some pretty good matches, but you had other top guys with you. Now all eyes are on MJF from Tony, from Triple H at WWE, to see how good you really are.
If you could be the man that you say you are. Mm-hmm. Speaking of MJF, his first opponent will either be Ricky Starks or Ethan Page. They will have a match tomorrow night on AEW Dynamite, and the winner will face...
No, you didn't ask me how about MJF winning.
No, I was going to go back to you. I was just answering that so that you could go off of that. Oh. It's a method to the madness. I didn't forget about you. As I was saying, so the winner of that match will be facing MJF. That will be probably his first title defense at Winter is Coming next month. So, Mr. Black, I would love your thoughts not only on MJF winning, but your thoughts on which one of the two men that I just mentioned should be his first opponent and why.
MJF winning is good. Now it's just showing, like my brother said, is you talk all this shit now when you wasn't the guy. Now you are the guy. You feel me? Like right now, is you are either gonna be Kobe or you're gonna be Tracy McGrady on the Magics. Which one are you gonna be? Because Kobe manned up and did what he had to do and surround himself with good people. He took over that team. T-Mac didn't have it, he couldn't do but so much. So my thing is, at the end of the day, are you going to take this coming to the finals? Are you going to do the extra stuff? Are you going to go to extra programming to elevate to the next level? Am I going to see you on Good Morning America? Am I going to see you on stuff outside of wrestling to elevate the brand? Am I going to see you on that? You talk all this shit, though, right? So let's see. So I feel like, honestly, They both deserve it. Like, I feel like Ricky a little bit more because I feel like Ricky is a better entertainer. Like, him and MJ are going to have a fire-ass match. And honestly, they both should get it. Eventually, he fight Ethan Page down the road, but I feel like him and Ricky Starks, the promo alone, that's a great way to start off your feud with somebody that you could go cold turtle on the mic would challenge you to get to that next one. So I want Ricky Starks to win.
Okay, so welcome. So who would you like to see be NJF's first title defense against?
I think Ricky Starks should be the best one because he's been a major part of the company. Aesthetic-wise, it's Ethan Page just because of the size. But I prefer Ricky because the promos are going to be a whole lot better.
See?
Promos between those two will be a whole lot better.
Dang. Stephanie is right.
I mean, she's not lying. As much as, yeah, he ain't eat all day. That's how he do. As much as I have a found respect for Ricky Starks, I do think that he's owed, as Mr. Black mentioned, a feud and not a one-off. And I feel like because this is a random-ass Winter is Coming Dynamite, that it's going to be more of a one-off match, which is why I'm leaning towards Ethan Page probably winning that match and then going to face MJF, especially because he was a part of that whole Fern shit with Michael Bivens and all that type of shit. So I kind of see Ethan winning, but I do absolutely want to see, and rightfully, Ricky Starks get an opportunity and get an actual program with a champion. It actually, at this point, it don't even matter who the fuck champion he go for anybody at this point, but there's certain people on that roster that just deserves a program versus a one-off. And they do, that's always been my issue with connecting to AEW, it's been the one-offs. It's like back on, when I watched Rampage last week, and it was live here in Jersey, and mm-hmm. they had Ortiz and Eddie Kingston versus two dudes that were from like Japan. And I was just like, I don't even know these two dudes. So I don't even know the importance.
No, the other guy you know. The other guy you know, he been on AEW mad time.
Bro, I don't know anybody that was on that team.
Yo, shout-outs to Encore for being on AEW Dark again.
Did you see JC Storm? She took off Athena's little thing on Rampage. I thought that was dope.
Yeah, I seen her.
So super side note. Y'all know how I feel about Ember Moon and her hair and all that shit. But I will say, I do like her as this like badass heel, though, low-key. And she's been this little energy she been got going on. I'm kind of here for it. Just had to put that out there on the streets. So sis, may not agree with you all the way, but I'm rocking with this for a little bit. I'm gonna see how this goes.
Me too.
I actually like it. All right, so we're gonna transition and get you guys out very soon. But we're gonna talk about Survivor Series, the last big four pay-per-view of 2022, and this year is a little special. Because Pop Trips has brought back War Games. It'll be the very first time War Games is on the main roster. And we have a women's War Games and we have a men's War Games match, which definitely, I think, some people have been saying it's been a lackluster build, but I think you really have to watch the product consistently to see that it hasn't been a lackluster one. Because they really been, this has been building since really SummerSlam, you really want to be honest. So right now there's five matches. They're gonna keep it short but sweet. So we have Finn Balor representing the Judgment Day versus AJ Styles representing the OC. Captain versus captain of their teams going head to head. What are your guys' thoughts? Who's gonna come out victorious?
Finn, because I heard that Tripp is very high on him.
I don't know why.
We always been high on him.
I don't know why. Whatever.
Yo, you don't like don't nobody. Do that. Who do you like? Who do you like?
The Rock.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Brolic Men.
Who do you like right now? That actually is not a bad question.
Who do I currently like?
Yeah, like right now.
Ricky Starks.
Okay.
I really like Orange Cassidy.
Okay.
Massive fan of Orange Cassidy. You know who's really grown on me? The Lucha Bros.
So, still, I only like one of them.
Ray Phoenix?
Yeah. That one. I like that one.
WWE, you know I love Kevin.
Yes.
Love Roman. My favorite wrestler right now is actually Seth Rollins.
Okay. Sethy out here with the Joker promo on Monday Night Raw.
You know I love me some Cody.
But
Seth made the injury worse, but that's Cody's fault for wrestling with that injury.
Well, because he wrestled the match, yeah. But actually, Brandy was on somebody's podcast this past week, and they had asked her about Cody, and she said, well, I'm no doctor, but he looks 100%. Like, just straight up was like, he looks ready to go. And I was just like, well, then. All right, so Mr. Black says, Finn, who do you guys are looking, Finn or AJ Styles?
Definitely Finn.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually gonna go AJ Styles because they've been New Day. Judgment Day's been winning a lot, so I'm gonna go the opposite way. I'm gonna give AJ Styles the W to kind of at least equal the momentum.
I mean Finn lost the Edge.
No, Finn won. He won the I Quit match.
He did.
Oh, he did. Okay, AJ mm-hmm. then.
And also, too, speaking of that, Edge might just pop back up and try to fuck him up. So, whoop, there that is. So, we have for the, it would be, we have for the SmackDown Women's title, I'm super excited Shotzi has a title match. I know she probably won't win, but I just love the fact that she's getting this opportunity because I think she's always been talented, even from the Evolve days. So who do you guys have? Will we see a new SmackDown Women's Champion or will Ronda?
What's wrong with you, Nat?
We live in a world right now where we don't know. They may just pull the trigger on shit. We just don't know. For the U.S. title, we have Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory for the U.S. title. I actually really love how they've made the U.S. title really prestige on Raw. Like, it's almost like must-see. And I think that's a really good way, especially because Roman still has these two belts. So somebody got to, you know, be like the A champion on that show. But who do you guys see? Will we see a new United States champion or will Seth Rollins walk out of Boston still champ?
He'll walk out of Boston still champ.
You think so?
I know myself, Bobby Lashley.
I think he loses
at
Rumble.
So I totally see Austin Theory winning.
Really?
Yeah. And I say more, Seth doesn't need the title because I see Seth being in the Rumble. I honestly even see Seth even going number one. Just because I know that they'll trust him. Either Cody comes in at 30 and fucks him up and throws him over. But Seth either's gonna be number one or Seth's gonna be one of the final four in the Rumble.
To take the title off Roman.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm not against that either. Cause that match at Rumble this year, I was glued. Seth is such a. I love how he plays mind games, like old school mind games. Like Seth brings you back to like some type of 80s, 90s like maneuvers, and I enjoy that. So yeah, I'm gonna go Austin Theory on this one. Just because Bobby still has unfinished business with Brock, and Seth keeps name dropping Cody, so that's why I'm like either Cody's comes back. And costs him the match or something happens. But all right, so we're now down to the War Games. So the Women's War Games features all the lovely ladies on the Raw brand. We have Team Bianca, which we have Bianca Belair, the Raw Women's Champion, who just announced with her lovely husband that they will be having an 8-episode series on Hulu next year. Of them, they got their own reality show.
I told them that they needed their own show when we were on. And they came.
You saw her.
Yeah, and then she's like, "Yeah, maybe, I don't know." And I was like, "No."
She probably knew then that they was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or they probably was filming it.
So yeah, they were on the Today Show this morning.
I saw it.
And they had announced that they're gonna do the show and that they're gonna start recording in a few weeks. So clearly Bianca will probably be champion for a little bit longer. but they're gonna start recording in the next like few weeks, and then it's an eight episode season. So I'm looking forward to it. So excited to see that. But back to Team Bianca. So we got Bianca Belair, we got Asuka, we got Alexa Bliss, and we got the returning Mia Yim. And we still don't know the remaining member of their team. It is a mystery person that they had said they will announce on SmackDown. I do think it's Becky Lynch. I really don't see anyone else. But Charlotte last is on SmackDown, and that's the only reason why I was like, I don't see it happening. Because I really actually want Charlotte to come back and take the title off of Ronda.
Someone said it might be Tegan Knox.
That would be random as fuck. Why? But that would fuck with Dakota. Oh, that would totally make sense, though. Wow. That's a good one.
You mad at me. Wow.
Yo, no, because I had went to the War Games, the last War Games, 2019 in Chicago when it was NXT.
When she turned on her.
And that's when she turned on her. So that's why I'm like, oh!
Don't do that. It could be, but don't do that to that girl. You know, people be like, who is that? Don't do that to her.
But that's what commentary's for. Unfortunately, those in the arena don't get that opportunity. But commentary's job is to tell us, as the viewers, who she is when she, like, if she comes out. So we have...
Because lately, and this is the one thing I've been enjoying about Triple H's run. He's been connecting everything outside of the main roster.
So it might be Tegan Knox too. You're right.
Because he's like, don't mention NXT. They'll mention other promotions. They'll mention New Japan
Pro. Yeah, they started mentioning more different promotions nowadays too. Just because, so that you know.
Well, it's because let's be real. It's we're not ignorant to the fact that there's other promotions out there. And right. Vince's whole thing was that the WWE universe is the only universe. And I respect that. Oh, Dr. D is coming on. Is coming on Saturday?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, sure. He said he was going to come on up. So we'll see that. Oh, Lord. I really don't want right? Chelsea Green. I want to say Virginia, Maryland. I don't think Delaware.
Listen, Chelsea Green, as soon as she makes one step.
She's going to hurt her hand again. So keep her out. So that's Team Bianca. And then Team Damage Control is, of course, Damage Control, which consists of EO, Dakota, and Bailey. And they also have Rhea Ripley. And they also have Nikki Cross coming back. Last night on Monday Night Raw, Team Damage Control won the advantage, so they will probably be the first. They'll have the advantage for that war game. So, is it going to be Team Bianca or Team Damage Control? What do you guys think?
Team Bianca.
Yeah, because she has a TV show coming out, so that looks good on TV.
Correct. And then we have the men's war games match, which is featuring. It almost feels like U.S. versus everybody, and it's hilarious, but it's not. So you have the Brawling Brutes, you have Sheamus, you have Drew McIntyre, and the returning Kevin Owens.
Oh, he's coming from Maryland.
Versus the Bloodline, which is Roman, the Usos, whatchamacallit, Solo Sikoa, and Sami Zayn. This Friday night on SmackDown, they will have a tag team match to determine which team will have the advantage. So we don't know that as of yet, but who do you guys think is going to win? Will the Bloodline run through the other team, or will the other team surprise the Bloodline? Because remember, it's elimination.
I think it's
War Games. It's not Survivor Series. I lied. My bad.
I think the Bloodline wins. But it is going to be one of those hard wins, and you're going to see the cracks within the Bloodline. You're going to start seeing the end of the Bloodline real soon.
I think we already started seeing it, to be honest. But you'll continue to see the pieces. I had fucked with Mikey the other day. Last night we was watching Raw. I was like, yo, what if Kevin Owens screws the team though, and just goes rogue? says fuck all y'all, I'm out. Because that's some Kevin Owens shit, but that was just being me. But who said Team Drew all the way? God, Lord of mercy. But yes, if once again you're not going to Boston, you can come on down. Tri-State area will be at Legends this Saturday.
Down the road.
Make sure to come early because seats will be taken very quickly. If you have not already RSVP, make sure to please do so. We will most likely, in the good graces, be back on our regularly scheduled date on Thursday next week. So we will be back the Fallout of Survivor Series, and we will start to talk about the end of year. What matches? What you know? New talent that's come up. We're gonna start breaking down this year slowly but surely because we got a few more weeks left of the year. So stay tuned for that. Anything else going on? HLG has their last show of 2022 coming up in a few weeks. I believe BCW2 as well has a show coming up. Pro Wrestling Magic has two shows coming up out in Jersey. So always make sure to go support independent wrestling. I'm trying to think of anything else. That is it, guys. Eventually, Sammy will probably turn on the bloodline. We just don't know when. Or will he? We don't know. But make sure to catch us and also make sure to also follow us on all social media platforms at the Java TS Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube page as well. Other than that, last but not least, guys, what is one thing that you're thankful for? And we can't say each other because that's a cop out. Don't do it.
No,
it's
you guys. I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, me too. And
I just told you.
Fine. I'm thankful for what wrestling has done for my life this year.
Okay. Well, I guess the easiest cop out. I'm always thankful of my brothers in wrestling and in life. And I'm thankful of the community that we created. Right. With each other and with everybody, not only that lives here in New York, but also that, you know, is all across the country. It is super. Mm-hmm. It's been a wonderful, it's a humbling experience, you know, when people from anywhere, a walk of life tell you like, yo, I listen to your podcast and you guys are so dope. And, you know, it's a humbling feeling, but we're always thankful of everybody that supported us from the beginning to now. So thank you. Hope everyone has a very good and safe and healthy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Make sure to spend time with family and friends. Those that are going to Legends, we'll see you Saturday. #BlackExcellence #WeAreOut.